We're now pleased to be joined by Christian Magoon, CEO and founder of Amplify ETFs, who currently offers 9 ETFs with over $500 million invested. Christian is on the line with us from Colorado. Christian, always great connecting. Thank you for joining us.
Hey, thanks for having me, Nate. Good to speak with you.
All right, so as it turns out, you actually joined us, what, about a month ago, right after launching the Amplify See More Cannabis ETF. And we're going to cover some other topics today, but I do want to ask you how everything's been going with that ETF so far. Can you give us a quick update?
Sure, yeah, a couple of tidbits. The cannabis market has been trading down really since mid-March. Looking at the largest cannabis ETF, that area has been down 32% since mid-March. So cannabis stocks have struggled a little bit. Some of it's due to this risk-off environment. There's been some governance issues. A company like CanTrust, which was one of the leaders, has some issues in Canada in terms of their growing operations. That's down 80%. The FDA has weighed in on CBD, and there's some lack of clarity around there. Also, we just had earnings season, and when you kind of look at the big five companies, Tilray, Cronos, Canopy, Aurora, Aphria, there's a variety of disappointments in that group. So it's been a little tough sledding, to be honest, having the cannabis ETF out in the marketplace. But, you know, CNBS is really a long-term story. You know, all of our thematics tend to be a 3 to 5 year outlook. So we're encouraged by, you know, the conversations we're having. One point I would say that I think is somewhat interesting is as we talk to advisors who currently own cannabis ETFs or are starting to look at it, a lot of that interest tends to be client demand, not necessarily advisor interest. There's a lot of caution from the advisor community on these types of companies, the business models, their profitability. So that's kind of an interesting dynamic that we're dealing with as well. You know, many of the brokerage firms don't provide research on these individual companies, so advisors are feel like they maybe are left in the dark a little bit. So, we think our approach, you know, partnering with Tim Seymour from CNBC's Fast Money and somebody who's an early stage investor in cannabis, hopefully will provide some insight and help to make the advisor and investor community a little bit more aware of some of the developments in that space.
Yeah, and I think you hit the nail on the head. I mean, the fact is, if you believe in the cannabis theme, this is a longer-term play. This isn't something that you're darting in and out of the markets on. This is a longer-term theme that you want to try to capture. Okay, so obviously it has been a choppy market recently. And so given that, I thought we might focus our attention this week on the Amplify Black Swan Growth and Treasury Core ETF, ticker symbol SWAN, a great ticker, which, by the way, this recently crossed over $100 million in assets. It just launched last November, so congratulations on that. Let's walk through what this ETF does, and then I'd love to get your thoughts on the current markets. So explain the basics here. How does SWAN work?
Yeah, so, you know, the Black Swan Growth and Treasury Core ETF, it's an index-based ETF, and it really seeks to offer investors exposure to the returns of the S&P 500, but at the same time providing a downside buffer against significant S&P 500 declines, often called black swan events, and that's really where it gets its name. So, you know, it's a rules-based index where 90% of the portfolio is invested in U.S. Treasury securities, and then 10% of the portfolio is invested in S&P 500 leap in the money call options. That gives you your equity exposure. So, you know, the 90% U.S. Treasury allocation really delivers that stability, consistency, and income benefits of owning bonds backed by the full faith and credit of the U.S. government, while the S&P 500 leap options gives the investors exposure to the returns of the S&P 500 without any cap. So it's a unique product. It kind of fits in this new kind of protection type category that's being built out in the industry over the last year or so. And yeah, we're excited that SWAN's gone over $100 million and performed nicely since its inception. And remember, going back to Election Day last year when we launched it in November through today, there's been several drawdowns in the S&P 500. And also, we've been neared record highs several times. SWAN has delivered a total return since inception of 13.3%, while the S&P 500 is up 8.5%. So an absolute outperformance of SWAN. It's had lower drawdowns and significantly less volatility, which we think is something investors are looking for given choppy markets right now.
Christian, the equity exposure, the leap options, do you mind explaining how these work in a bit more detail, just so everyone understands exactly the type of upside exposure they're getting?
Yeah, so LEAP options, LEAP is really an acronym for long-term equity anticipation securities. These are just publicly traded option contracts with expiration dates that are longer than the typical short-term options, so they're essentially longer than a year. The S&P 500 LEAPs call options, which is 10% of SWAN's portfolio, really just give the portfolio exposure to the rise or the fall in the S&P 500 index while using less capital. So you have some leverage in that option trade. And essentially, you know, when you're investing in SWAN, that 10% S&P 500 allocation is kind of your money at risk. That's essentially the most you can lose if the S&P really takes a significant decline of 15 to 20%. Which, by the way, historically, going back to 1941, you have a 1 in 5 chance in any given year of the S&P declining that much, 15% or more. So it happens a lot more frequently than we'd think if we just looked at the last 10 years. At the same time, you know, if that portion of your portfolio goes to zero, you still have 90% of your portfolio in U.S. Treasuries. You know, this whole product is built on the risk-on, risk-off relationship of U.S. Treasuries to the S&P 500. And we've seen that a lot over the last 16 weeks, especially Bloomberg just showed a report, a chart showing, you know, the rise of the S&P 500 and the money flows going into the S&P 500 during periods of outperformance of the bond market, and then the exact thing happening on the opposite side, where when fear comes into the marketplace, the S&P loses value. Where does that money go? It generally goes into U.S. Treasury market, and it's been a great, you know, correlation, if you will, inverse correlation during times of risk. So this product really is really conceptually a risk-on, risk-off product that not only is good to own in times of crisis, but allows you the opportunity to kind of have performance that's index-like or S&P 500-like over a full market cycle.
Christian, on that note, and I don't want to get too far in the weeds here, but because of the notional exposure of the options, let's say there's a 20% up move in the S&P. Just high level, what should investors expect to capture in terms of returns? And perhaps same question on the downside. And again, I know there's moving parts here depending upon what the treasuries are yielding, so on and so forth. But just for an investor looking at this at a high level, what would the expectation be?
Right. So we can look at the SWAN index, which is really just a mathematical quantitative index that looks at these two different asset classes, U.S. Treasuries and S&P 500 LEAP options. And we can go back to the back testing of this index to see how it performed or would have performed in certain market scenarios. So first scenario, in 2017, the S&P was up 21%. The SWAN index was up 16.7. So not as good as the market, but you know, obviously we have a fair amount in U.S. Treasuries. In 2008, where we saw the S&P down 37%, the SWAN index actually appreciated 5.2%. So some significant performance there. Last year, in 2018, where the S&P was down 4.3% for the year, SWAN was down 4% for the year. So just a little bit of outperformance in that slightly downward market. So, you know, SWAN probably will never, is not likely to outperform the S&P in a big year where a bull market year. It's generally going to do better in times when the market has taken it on the chin and seen a black swan type event. But, you know, for an average, you know, for a decent year in the S&P 500, example 2017, where the S&P was up 21, I think being up 16% that year in the SWAN index is commendable for a product that really kind of shows its value during tough market conditions.
But, you know, I think to your point, it's important for investors not to confuse SWAN with a tail risk strategy, right? A tail risk strategy is going to take losses in positive markets and will only gain when the market goes down. Theoretically, SWAN could outperform on a relative basis in both types of markets. You also made another interesting point earlier. In a previous segment, we were talking about defined outcome ETFs, but something like SWAN, there is no upside cap, which I think differentiates it from that. So I think those are two important points.
That's right. And, you know, if you would have bought, for example, the defined outcome product in November, and you know, since then the S&P's up 8.5%, there's a good chance that you would have been capped and may not have been able to participate in that 8.5%. On the flip side, Swan is up 13% since November. Over a long period of time, equity markets have outperformed fixed income markets, and it has been, investors have been rewarded by, embracing volatility. So we think not having that cap on upside exposure is important, especially because we're likely to see the most amount of inflows into these types of products at market bottoms, which, as you know, generally means there's the most upside to be had going forward in the future. So we think this is a product that's designed, I think, to really maybe help investors not panic out of the markets and miss out on some of those, bounces that often occur after significant declines.
Christian, it's Connor Kelly. Just to follow up on that, would you be comfortable saying that the downside of this product is essentially the 10% that are in the leap calls? I mean, you would think, unless, really kind of end of the world Armageddon stuff is happening, that the U.S. Treasuries are going to hold their value, if not appreciate, during a bear market in stocks. So there could be a situation where, even if, we're looking at 2008 again, that this fund would be down at most 10% and then possibly less if the 90% in treasuries actually appreciates.
Yeah, that's a great question, Connor, and that could happen. This product is designed to be 90% treasuries, 10% S&P 500 leap options, and it rebalances twice a year. So a couple of scenarios that could differ between that 10% loss. You could have equity exposure that runs up during the rebalance from 10% to 15% in a very strong bull market. And then you could see a massive sell-off at that point, and now you'd have, 15% of your portfolio.
Sure.
Allocated. So we generally like to think that about 15% is kind of your max loss historically, looking at the quantitative data. And that was really kind of the worst outlying year that we could find, with several kind of perfect storms.
Right. The timing is a big part of that.
That's right. That's right.
Yeah, and I'll tack on to that. I think the worst case scenario here would be if you had a rising rate environment with stocks falling at the same time. But Christian, I know you have a stat, I believe, on your website that since 1929, there have only been three calendar years where both the 10-year Treasury and S&P 500 were down in price in the same year.
So, that's right. It's quite unusual for that to happen. And the other thing I would just point out is you are getting paid to wait in this product. So there is a yield on this product, unlike some of the option-based ETFs that are out there. So currently the yield is about 1.58%. It's paid out on a quarterly basis. You are getting kind of like, decent yield here to own a protected equity strategy, which, makes a difference. The other thing I'd also point out is our expense ratio at 49 basis points is kind of the lowest in the category. So, we think we have a few unique edges when you, combine that 49 basis point expense ratio with 158 basis point distribution rate. We think we have maybe about a 1.8% edge, if you will, over the competition for a shareholder to own our product between a lower expense ratio and a distribution rate.
Christian, we haven't discussed much on the Treasury side. Do you guys have a set duration that you're trying to peg that at?
Yeah, we do. So going back, there's concern about interest rate risk and owning an actual single duration. So the target duration for the U.S. Treasury exposure is 10 years. How it's achieved, though, is through a laddered implementation, owning treasuries that are less than 10 years and more than 10 years, but so that they average out to be a 10-year duration. It's simply just to reduce the interest rate risk that owning only solely 10-year treasuries could bring to the product.
Right.
So
right.
It is a laddered exposure.
All right, Christian, so given the ticker symbol and name of this ETF, I have to put you on the spot a little bit. Do you see the potential for some type of black swan event out there right now? And of course, we don't usually see these coming, right? They're rare. That's why they're called black swans. But
right.
Maybe a better way to frame the question is there anything causing you significant concern in the markets right now?
Right. So, you know, we've had a number of, you know, black swan events, you know, going over the last 20 years, whether it's a dot-com bubble, 9/11, the financial crisis, flash crash of 2010, the Fukushima nuclear disaster. I mean, right now, I think, you know, there are events that could impact the market 10-15% in terms of a drawdown, things like the trade war really escalating, you know, a global economic recession. We see news out of Germany that they're preparing a massive stimulus project. We see today that Italy's government was dissolved. The current policy shift here in the U.S. to go after tech platforms, and you know, many of those companies have led the U.S. equity markets over the last 5 years in terms of price performance. So we definitely see a number of risks on the horizon, and we think that, you know, for investors who are, you know, nearing retirement, who are in retirement, who maybe can't afford to take a 15-20% drawdown and wait several years for perhaps that money to come back, we think implementing a core strategy that has a buffer against these significant downturns is important. And there are, we believe, some black swan risks on the horizon that we're keeping an eye on. And, you know, we've had some of our largest point declines in the last 2 weeks. So I think most investors are aware that volatility seems to be peaked here. You know, we didn't even mention some of the issues going on with Iran, as well as China and Russia, which, you know, always kind of hover on the horizon for us.
Christian, you have me scared to get out of bed in the morning now. Hey, I have a few fun rapid-fire questions I want to close with, but before we get to those, I did want to briefly ask you about two other ETFs you offer, which actually certainly tie into the current markets and economic environment. So the Amplify Online Retail ETF, ticker iBuy, and then you also have an international version, XBuy. I know the holiday season seems like it's a long way away, but retail spending does typically start picking up here pretty soon. So given the current economic backdrop, but of course we have this clear trend towards online retail, what are you watching for in this space?
Yeah, so, you know, we're looking at the U.S. Census Bureau data on retail sales as well as e-commerce sales. The numbers continue to be very positive for online retail versus brick-and-mortar stores. We're seeing online retail grow at a double-digit rate, while brick-and-mortar stores are generally down negative in terms of market share in the single digits. You know, you look at a company like Macy's, whose stock price is down 47% this year, and then you consider the online retail ETF iBuy, which has returned 20.4% through last night. We're seeing a tale of two cities in the retail space. Online continues to gobble up market share. Yesterday, U.S. Quarterly e-commerce sales report hit, and currently online retail market share in the U.S. of all retail sales is just over 10%. Most other countries outside the U.S., Asia and Europe, many experts predict that we're going to see a doubling of that online retail market share in the U.S. to closer to 20% in the next 3 years. I think that bodes really well for online retailers. And remember, even in an economic downturn, online retailers tend to benefit because they have, or at least they have the perception of competitive pricing and more convenience. So we think this is setting up nicely. As you know, the all-important holiday shopping season is getting close here, and that'll be a big kind of mover for all retail stocks. Certainly, we could see brick and mortars bounce here as more of a short-term trade. Many of them are off, you know, close to 50% this year. I just saw a list of 10 brick and mortar retailers that are off 50% or more this year. You know, we're likely to see close to 12,000 store closings. But all of those factors actually benefit online retail. So we still think this is a great theme in the early stages. And it's a little bit counter, maybe. Most people don't like retail right now because of what's happened in brick and mortar. They're concerned about some of the China trade tariffs. But, you know, we think, you know, the online retail is here to stay and is going to continue to take even more market share this holiday season, and is actually on a little bit of a dip right now. So I think it's iBuy is a great way to implement that, not necessarily buy one or two stocks in the space. As you know, we're equal weighted. So Amazon is many times not even in our top 10 holdings. And indeed, last time I checked, Amazon was the 14th best online retail stock performer of the year. So many other names, Etsy, Wayfair, et cetera, have done quite well this year. Carvana, we own them in iBuy, and it's a great way to have diversified exposure, we think, to the growth of online retail. too.
Yeah, and I think everybody will be watching retail sales as we head into the, you know, later part of the third quarter into the fourth quarter. We were talking earlier just about the health of the economy. I mean, anecdotally, things still seem pretty strong. So I think retail sales will be a good indicator of where we're at. All right, Christian, let's close with a few quick, more lighthearted questions. I've been trying to do this more often.
Yeah.
All right, so first, when you joined us earlier this year, back in January, we talked about your knack for selecting creative ETF ticker symbols. And you just came out with another good one recently, CNBS, for the cannabis ETF. So I have two questions for you here. One, what's your favorite ticker symbol out of your nine ETFs? And by the way, I should mention, you also have a yield shares ETF as well. So I guess 10 altogether. And then two, what's your favorite ETF ticker symbol overall?
Oh, that's interesting. So, I got to go with our first one with iBuy. I think that's unique. I think it's worked well, although, you know, Block was probably a very good strategic ticker for our blockchain-focused ETF. In terms of my favorite ETF ticker symbol, you know, I think I'm going to stick with one or two that I've been a part of launching in the past, and that would be either HAC, a cybersecurity ETF.
Always a classic.
Yep.
Yep, or TAN, the solar ETF that's now over at Invesco. So I think those two were unique, creative, memorable. They fit a lot of the criteria. They were outside the box a little bit. I think those are pretty solid tickers in my book.
Yeah, I think those two always show up in any top 5 or 10 ETF ticker list you see. I always stick with Moo. For me, that, you know, that's always a classic. And yeah. I'll mention that out of your ticker symbols, I think the one that I actually like best is LEN for your peer-to-peer lending and crowdfunding ETF. I think partly just because I was surprised that ticker symbol was available so late in the game. There's so many different ways you can potentially use that that ticker.
Right.
Okay, so how many new ETF ideas are you typically batting around at any one time? Like, are you constantly coming up with new ideas and sort of beating them up, trying to figure out what might work? Like, how does that process look for you?
Yeah, so we get approached a fair amount, and then we're also kind of in the marketplace looking at research and trends. So I think at any given day, there's probably three or four areas we're taking a look at or evaluating. You know, I think the challenge has been in 2019 that flows have been dominating in the fixed income area over the equity area. When you look at where the equity inflows have been, it's been all too conservative type, you know, low volatility ETFs. I think last time I looked, the two largest low volatility ETFs had over half of the inflows into equity ETFs this year. So, you know, our Ballywick has tended to be, you know, thematic growth plays, which have been out of favor this year in terms of flows. So, you know, that influences, you know, how our appetite for, you know, launching products and you know, our confidence level in being able to gather assets. You know, with that being said, we've launched three new ones this year. I'm not sure if we'll get another one out, you know, going into the end of the year. Probably not, but you never know. We're having some interesting discussions for sure.
All right. You're an online retail expert. Who is the last online retailer you used besides Amazon?
Yeah, so Etsy, I think, is,
Etsy,
is the,
okay.
Yeah, the one I'd point to. And I think, boy, if you have a birthday coming up for that you want to get somebody a unique birthday gift, I mean, Etsy has an unbelievable marketplace of, you know, custom, unique gifts that are fantastic. I just bought, I think my last purchase there was a customized pair of Air Jordans in the Spider-Man theme. Which are pretty interesting, maybe even a collectible to give to a loved one for an upcoming birthday. So hopefully they're not listening to the podcast. But anyway, that's a place I'd encourage everyone to take a look at, Etsy, quite a unique marketplace.
All right, last question. You live in one of my favorite parts of the country, Colorado. I'm curious, what's your favorite late summer, fall activity in Colorado?
Boy, you know, I live very close to the Garden of the Gods. If you haven't been there,
I have. Beautiful place.
Yeah, so I like to do a lot of hikes through there. And then certainly going to see the Aspens in Cripple Creek, which is near Colorado Springs where I live, is also pretty amazing to see that yellow fall colors. Quite different than, you know, my hometown of Green Bay, Wisconsin, where, you know, you don't see those types of trees there. More of the reds in the darker hues. So those are two things I think that I'm looking forward to doing. Also probably getting to the pumpkin patch with my daughter. So looking forward to that as things cool down. Although we've had like 90 degrees in Colorado Springs, so it doesn't seem very fallish yet.
Well, Christian, excellent stuff as always. Really appreciate you joining us. Look forward to chatting again soon. Thank you.
Thanks, Nate. Thanks, Connor. Appreciate it.
That was Christian Magoon, founder and CEO of Amplify ETFs. And you can learn all about their ETF lineup by visiting amplifyetfs.com.